The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in the Sechet Brachot brought to you by Ben Chumot Yerushalayim is Daf Mem Aleph, and we're holding on the fifth line down. So the Mishnah continues with the new Aloha, where we have a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about what you do if you have a lot of different types of things. If you take a look back in the Mishnah, on the Beit, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Yesh Behem Min Shiv'a, Alavu Mevarech, V'chachamim Omerim, Mevarech Aleiz Mehem Sheyirtzeh. So according to Chachamim, you go according to whatever you desire to eat first, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you go according to one that is a member of the Shivat Aminim. Now, there's many different ways to understand this. We could understand this as a question of, if you're going to be making the bracha anyway, so the question is how to be mechabed the bracha, not a din in kedima of the bracha, a din in kedima of the fruit for the bracha. Now, there's other issues. The other issues are kedima of what type of bracha. Maybe there's a bracha that's more chashuv than the other bracha. Maybe a bracha that's more specific is more chashuv. So perhaps a yayin would come first, or a mizunot would come first, or an eight should come before a adama, which is more general, and certainly everything should come before shahakah. But that doesn't seem to matter here. Perhaps it does. We'll see. In other words, it's not unclear whether this is dafka, where the bracha is the same bracha, or the bracha is a different bracha, and choose which bracha is more chashuv, or is it just a question of being mechabed the bracha? And the pashtus that it's a question of the Shivat Aminim is that we're referring to, we're going to make the bracha anyway. And obviously, I mean, it's talking about where I'm going to be eating this anyway. I'm certainly never mechuyev to eat something because of making a bracha. I make a bracha because I've decided I want to eat something. The only question is, if I'm going to eat both of these things, is there an inyan to be mechabit the bracha by being careful about the more choshev of foods, that the bracha is directly associated with that food? Therefore, says Ula, let's understand the Mishnah. I'm claiming that the Mishnah has nothing to do with the bracha. It has to do with the fruit. And therefore, we're talking about the bracha anyway is going to be made. Same exact bracha is going to be made. Rabbi Yehuda says, if that's the case, then min shiva adif. Take the one that comes from the pasuk, and that way you're being more careful about the value of this bracha that you're making. Rabbanan Tzavri min chavim adif. Look, I mean, bracha is associated with your enjoyment of the world. So you're supposed to be called enemy olam azebli bracha. So then choose what it is that you feel like. By the way, there's a machloket aposkim about whether this means what you feel like at this minute or what generally would be more chaviv to you. You know, sometimes you like to put off the thing that you really enjoy till the end or whatever. That's a machloket. We actually paskin lately that it's the one that is generally chaviv to you, not what you feel like eating in that minute. So there's still a din in the chashivut of the pre because of the chavivut. But again, which is not so poshut if the issue is the called hanene.
You yes? Eat both of these
parents. Obviously. If you're not going to eat both of them, there's nothing to discuss. We're not chai of you to eat things in order to make brachas. Avo b'she'in berkotein shavot, continues Ula. If, however, there's different brachot, then they're different sets. Are you comparing apples and oranges? No, you're comparing apples and radishes. I mean, are you going to choose one over the other? You do whatever you want. So over there, for sure, if you're going to be making two brachot, and I'm not addressing any din of kedima of brachot per se. Maybe there isn't any, but certainly that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Meitzvei, ha'yulaf anaf tznon v'zayit. Speaking of radish and olives, here's a remarkable din. This seems to be saying that what you would want to do is the opposite of what intuitively we got used to thinking. Take the bracha that is more general and use it to pater the shel eitz. Now, this is crazy because generally we only spoke about the halacha borei pri adama patering a shel eitz where you made a mistake and you accidentally, we said, okay, accidentally, then you're yotze, but not to be koveid in that fashion. And here it seems to be saying, always take the more general bracha and use it to be motzi both. Oh, says the Gemara, please. What do you think it's talking about over here? The din of kedima? It's talking about basically you're eating a tznon salad. You want to give it a little bit of flavor to take away the sharpness of the salt, you put olives into it. That's all it's saying. Make a bracha on the radish salad. The olives you don't have to worry about because they're basically the tufel to the tznot. No, says the Gemara, that can't be what it's talking about. Because the Yochiyama Sefa, continue, please, Rebbe Omer. Mevorach al hazayit, on the contrary. Make a bracha on the zayit, because after all, the zayit is mimin shiva. Now, come on. Talking about mimin shiva is a function of ikar v'tafel? Talking about mimin shiva is a function of kedima. You're claiming we're not even talking about kedima. I mean, surely you're not going to suggest. Tell me Rebbe Yehuda disagrees with the entire idea of koshu ikar v'imot ve'la mevorach al ikar poter tat ve'la. He doesn't believe in kedima? Maybe he'll try. I don't know. I mean, maybe the leple he doesn't hold of this din of Iker and Tafel. Vatanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, excuse me. Could you continue? Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Imachmat atznon ba'azayit. Obviously, if the zayit is only there to flavor the tznon, of course I agree that mavarechal atznon upoteret azayit. So now I'm really confused. So that means that the resha was not talking about a din of Tafel. It was talking about a din of Kadima. Uh-oh. No. There's obviously something missing here. Here's how we're going to have to read it. We're talking about the Tznon being the Ikar. And therefore, you should potter with the Tznon. The Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbanan were not arguing about that. There's a piece missing. They're arguing about something else. They're reverting to the machloket that we had in the Mishnah. Clearly, the piece that's missing should go like this. Chisur and Mechasra. We should learn it as follows. Ayulafanav tznon v'zayit. And that's talking about ikar v'tafel. Vorakalat tznon upoter tazayit. Now, insert these words. Bamed varmamurim. Let me make it clear that I'm only saying that not as a din of kedima, but as a din of ikar v'tafel. Kishat tznon ikar, and therefore it patters. But how about if a tznon is not ikar? Then, divrei hakol mevorech al zeh. V'chozer mevorech al zeh. Since they're different brachot, then, as Hula said, two different sets are not comparable. Why would you make one before the other? There has nothing to do with the fruit. There has to do with a different bracha. And the standard, I'm going to be making the bracha anyway on both of these things. So now it's a question of selecting the one that is nicer for the bracha. Fine. But over here, I'm not going to make the bracha anyway. I'm making two different brachas. Why should one come before the other? Unless, of course, there's a new halacha called Kedima Berachot, which we haven't even thought about yet. So in this case, it's clearly one or the other. Now, in a case where you have shnei minim b'yamash v'rchoteim shavot. Aha. Now we revert to the braita, where it's b'vorach al-ezer shvem shi'yirtzeh, and Rabbi Yehuda b'vorach al-zayit shazayit b'min shiva, which is essentially what was said in the Mishnah. So basically, the only thing that we added was to clarify the din of A, ikar v'tafel again, and B, where Birchotim Einan Shavot, and this bright is really coming to tell me what Ula was telling me, essentially. Now, actually, in this, Machloket Pligi Bar Rabami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. This is not so simple, because yes, it's true that we're trying to explain this bright by asserting this Ali Bidullah, but the truth is, Chanamar Machloket with Birchotim Shavot, that indeed the whole Machloket in our Mishnah is as we expressed here in the bright Ali Bidullah. Rabbi Yitzchak Min Shiva Adif, and Rabbanan Savrei Min Chaviv Adif. By the way, many of the Rishonim pasken halach lemaisa that Min Chaviv Adif, including the Rambam and the Ra'ah. Serious pasken. Nonetheless, we don't pasken that way. And we pasken Chaviv Adif, Shiva Adif above Chaviv. Anyway, Aval b'she'en berkoteim shavot, in a case where you have apples and radishes. Please be careful from now. Never say you're comparing apples and oranges. Always say apples and oranges and radishes. Now we have a new idea. One Madhyama suggests that even two sets of different types of brachot has the machloket of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. What? I mean, the Shlema Laman Yomer Kishim Birkotayim Shavot Machloket. It's clear what the Machloket is. Shapir. I mean, we explained that. Is the Chavivut more important than the Shiva? Is the Shiva more important than the Chaviv? Understand? Question whether we look to the Hana of the person in terms of the Bracha or to simply the objective Chashivas of the Pri. But if it's Ein Birkotayim Shavot, what the heck are they arguing about? The Mike Pligan. Omer Reb Yirmiyah, there's a whole new issue here. There's a din of kedima in brachot, lahakdim. The Omer Reb Yosef v'tem Reb Yitzchak, kol ha-mugdam b'pasuk zeh, whatever comes first, in this pasuk is mugdam levracha. And it completely ignoring the question of what the bracha is. So we have eretz chita u'sara, if you eat a chita or a sara, you make a adon, okay? And then we have geth, oh my God, I mean, that's pretty important stuff. Teina, rimon, zeit shemen, dvash. So, okay, this is the order in which I make the bracha, mugdam levracha. So that's a din in the kedima, not in the necessarily in the pre for the bracha, but even for the bracha per se. So that means if I have a hadama and I have an eitz, which you claim, well, then of course it's irrelevant what the kedima is. That's not true. There's a kedima of bracha even so. Now this argues in Rabbi Hanan. Rabbi Hanan says the pasuk of eretz chita sarav gefen teinav rimon, eretz zechem nutvash, is actually there to relate all of the elements of mitzvahs to the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. And actually, this entire pasuk is teaching me different shiurim that I need to know la halacha. So, chita, well, chita is an interesting din. The chita teaches us the tana. Hanichnas labayet hamenugan. We have a special halacha that remarkably revolves around wheat and only wheat. What is that? The din is, of course, if you're nichnas to a bayit where there's a mate, that's an instantaneous din of tumat ohel. There's a curious similar tumah, which is not precisely the same, which is called the nichnas labayit where either the bayit is menuga or there's a person who has a nega in the bayit. Over there, we find that the Torah talks about sitting in the house. So clearly it's not the entry per se, that's betame. It's being in the house, whatever that means. Now, there's two different din. I mean, we're going to be medayik this at the pasuk. If you walk into the house, or you bring something into the house, so essentially that thing has walked into the house, then the tumah is called immediately. But in order for the adam to be metame, the begotten that he's wearing, when the begotten are brought to him, then he has to actually be in the house, not simply pass through the house. And how do we measure that? So here's the din in the Mishnah. Somebody walks into a bayit menuga. He's got his sweater hooked in his finger behind him. He's got his running shoes around his neck. He's carrying his rings in his hands. The din is everything becomes tummy automatically. But if he's wearing his clothes and he's got his sandalim on his feet, and he's got his rings on his fingers. I mean, this is a cool guy, let me tell you. I mean, you imagine a guy like this walking to the place, imagine they throw him out of it. Right. So, but anyway, the deal...
Kind of car of it.
But it's definitely the before picture. So, then the din is, he, as an entity, is Tamei Miyad. But the things that are tefil to him are tahar until he is a yoshev in the bayit. And that yoshev bayit is defined by the following shir. Sheyishev ichtei achilat pras, the amount of time that it would take him to eat a half of a size of a full lechem that is made out of chitim, not a lechem that is made out of seorim, which means that it's easier to eat, you're going to eat it more quickly. Seorim requires more chewing, and it's a slower type of food. Velopat seorim, in a position of actually sitting down the way normally you sit down and eat, mesa, eating them together with whatever you would normally have, your hummus, dip, or whatever. That's what chita is for. Seorim. Well, believe it or not, there's a shiur that is specifically a barley. And what is that? Etzem kisora, is metame b'mago b'masa, b'neinu metame b'oa. So that's dinner tumat meat. What is the gefen? Gefen, remarkably, is the shear of how much is usur for a nazir to eat, not to drink, and not to drink of wine, but because then I don't need the shear of yain. Then it's just a coincidence that he's drinking wine. I mean, and if you were to make a netter not to drink coke, what was the beer of this? What does that do with gefen? No, there's a much more subtler din. The nazir is usur in achila. Right? He's not allowed to eat things that come from a grapevine. Now, how do we estimate what that achila is? You're talking about pits, you're talking about pieces of vine. That is not generally the shear of achila. How do we measure that? Remarkably, we measure it by how much wine it displaces. And that needs to be wine. Why? because the specific density of wine and its surface tension is different than water. Therefore, it will take more of the pieces of the vine to displace that amount of the revius, of the yayin, because the wine will tend to actually stand up more over the cup than the water will. By the way, there's a fascinating, I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but there's a fascinating physical phenomenon which is associated with this, and that's called wine tears or wine legs. You take a look at a cup of wine, you leave a cup of wine in a cup. What happens is that you see, even if you don't do anything, you see tears start forming around the top and it drips down to the bottom, into the wine. That's the craziest thing. It took centuries for people to figure out what the heck was going on. What's going on is that the surface tension of the alcohol is completely different than that of water. It's much lower. Because of that, the alcohol creeps up the side. But it starts to evaporate, leaving behind water, which then drips back down because the wine is thicker. So you have a constant dripping. That's like the weirdest kind of thing. And they call it legs because of the strips it leaves. You've often seen after you finish the wine, like there's the streaks of
how long?
Yeah, almost right away. Oh. Leave it there. When you finish a thing of wine, you find like long strips of wine along the edge of the wine. You're thinking, well, how did that get there? When you're talking about, I'm talking about glass, not a metal bottle. So this is actually part of the pasuk of Geffen Lenozer that takes into consideration the difference in that surface tension. Remarkable. So that's Kedei Rabbi Yehiyahu Lenozer. There's a great, I got to tell you this, I'm sorry, but I can't resist. There's this British physicist who a long time ago said that that's the pshat in the pasuk in Mishlei, where it says, people think that means the drunkard looks at the coast. No, the wine gives its coloration, a no, to the coast, creating these tears. So, but don't think that that's so harsh. That's what Shlomo Melech is saying. Don't look at the red marks. You got to take everything into consideration. Anyway, continue. So that's Kedei Rabbi Yehiyahu Lenozer to Eina. Hey, te'ina is the shear of a groger lotzat Shabbat. Most things that you take out to eat on Shabbat, the chashivut of the hotza'ah is the shear of a groger, specifically, which is a dried fig. Rimon. A rimon. Well, we're all familiar with the phenomena of rimon. We call it the old couch phenomenon. When you've got an old couch, and everybody's walking into your house, say, how the heck does somebody like that have a couch that looks like that? Basically, what has happened is that you gradually accommodate yourself to something that's been around for the past 30 years. You don't notice that it's no longer suitable for a Harlem apartment, right? Same thing happens when you've got an old dish, and you've been serving in it for the longest, and now it cracked. And you can no longer use it as a candy dish because the candies fall through the hole. Okay, so you put in nuts. Okay, then it cracks more, man. Now I can't hold nuts, so you're going to put in nectarines. Cracks more. You only give up when it can no longer hold rimonim. At that point, it becomes bottle from its tumen, it loses its tumen. That's the sheer kokli bale batin. Obviously, if you're manufacturing it, then you've got some kind of quality control. But once it's in somebody's house, it's the bale batin, shiuran ki rimonim. It's got to have a big enough hole that it can't even hold a pomegranate. Eretz Zeit Shemen. What is a Zeit Shemen? It is a land where any halacha is defined by the shear of a kizayah. Zeit Shemen. Shekoshi Orea Kizaitim. And by the way, that's what we talked about before. The aguri date, which is a Zeit Shemen. It's got its oil, ogur betocha. Wait a minute. What do you mean all of it shiurim? You just gave me a bunch of other shiurim. What's this called? Shiurim? You got an amar? What about everything we just said? Well, I mean, Eretz Sharov shiurim, because they did. I mean, all of the dinam of Achila, the mitzvahs of Achila, the yisr of Achila, it's all about kizayin. Heck, you can even write a book about it. Devash, what is a devash referring to? Kikotevet hagasah b'yom ha-kippurim. That is the shear of, devash is a reference to tamarim. That is the shear of a large kotevet, which is a ripe fig here, which you're going to be eating on Yom Kippur. Why? Because there's no isser of eating on Yom Kippur. There's only an isser of being satisfied. Kol nefesh shelo yulotu. And that takes more than a zayin. That takes a kotevet. The idach. And what do we do if you hold it? This is a din kedima in brachot. I mean, isn't it there for all of these immense importance in shiurim? Oh, come on. How is shiurim bad? You mean, I love it. You've got a pasuk. It doesn't say one word about shiurim, you know. And you've already got bones and nazirim. And now you're asking me, well, how can you read the pasuk otherwise? How can I read the pasuk otherwise? Shiurim behedim mikti doesn't say one word about any of the stuff in the pasuk. The din of the shiurim is obviously a din derabbanan. We've said derabbanan. Elsewhere it says, alakal moshe misinai. Derabbanan is often used the application of alakal moshe misinai. And the kra is a smach to be alma. I mean, but the reality that the pasuk is coming to teach me is the din of kedima of brachot. Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna were once sitting and eating together. This is a test. So they bring tamarim and rimonim, takes Rav Amnuna the fruit, we won't say which one, and he was mevarech on the tamar first. Oh my God, the tamar first. That's the very last thing in the pasuk. Eretz Zeit Shemen Udvash. Now, of course, Rav Chisda wasn't sure. Maybe Rav Amnuna held like the Rabbanan, you do the Chaviv, not the Shiva. Maybe this was Chaviv. But he wanted to find out. So Rav Chisda said to him, don't you hold of the din of Kedima Bebrocha? Sure I do. That's exactly why I took the Tamar. Because Eretz Zeit Shemen Udvash. How many steps away from the Eretz is Dvash? Two. How many steps away is the Rimon from the Eretz? Five. So I'm doing exactly the Kedima. What do you think? It's the order of the Pasuk? It's the closeness to Eretz Yisrael that's important. Oh my God, he was blown away, Rav Chisda. He said, you're a genius. Let me tell you, man, if my legs were made out of steel, I would follow you to the ends of the earth. The man yoyla nagrit at parzal, if only I had steel legs. Vinash be enough, I would be Mashamish, but unfortunately, that ain't the way it is, so fine. Itmar. Yes, it's a nice thought. Anyway, Itmar. Then how about if we bring fruit in the middle of a meal? You got to make a brocha on that fruit, because obviously that fruit is not there to eat with the bread. It's sort of like a sweetener and so on, but you can't call it a malafet et apat. And therefore, you need to make a bracha, but birkat hamazon patur is anything that came before it, and therefore, it doesn't require a bracha l'acharei. V'chein omer Rav Nachman, tu'unim bracha lifnehem, l'acharei, tu'unim bracha lifnehem, but in tu'unim bracha l'achareihem, because birkat hamazon takes care of that. Rav Sheshet omer, tu'unim bracha, bein lifnehem, bein l'acharei, whatever is such a thing, what do you mean they don't need a bracha afterward? Birkat hamazon is only for things that are coming as part of the seudah. This is coming as part. So you're telling me this is what the achalta v'savata v'erachta? You can't be nisba on these things. Ein lecha davar she'to'un bracha lefanav ve'im to'un bracha l'achrav. There ain't no such thing of something that you would make a bracha before and not a bracha after. Whatever it is such. Yes, there's one case. The truth is, there's more than that. I mean, there's rice cakes. You know, rice cakes, you'd make a bracha, mizonot, but you don't make a bracha after them, in the sense of that you don't need bracha akhabi and shalashir, burning for sure. But the only thing of this type that would be remarkably not require a bracha is pataba b'kisanin bilva. Now, Rashi learns that what we're talking about over here, this is one of the biggest machlokas in the Shas, among the poskim, and again, whole books have been written literally about what defines pataba b'kisanin, and what is our Gemara referring to over here. Rashi understands the word kisanin not as pockets, which many understand kisanin means it's pocket bread, meaning what we would call danishes. So in other words, you make a little, you put some fruit or some flavoring in the middle, and you bend the bread over it, which creates a little pocket, which holds this thing, and it would be talking about buns, danishes, that type of thing, sweetened, what we call mizonos bread today, which there's all types of machlokas. The airlines, of course, use the biggest hat there, put a little bit of apple juice instead of water, and now all of a sudden you make a mizonos, sweet bread, Okay, whatever they hold. Rashi learns kisnin is a reference to a type of food. I mean, kisnin is a reference to a popped grain or popped corn that would come afterwards. And that was the minna that they used to take that away, and they would just put out some popcorn on the table. Together with the popcorn, they would have these decorative little kites that they would serve. Rashi says, yeah, sometimes they look like little duckies, and sometimes they look like little trees, and it's the Viennese table, you know? And those things were filled with all types of yummy little, you know, nuts and sweet things, and yeah, you know, little birdies, and it's really very cute. And since the minhag was not as the Jewish Viennese table, which is you stuff yourself till you're about to vomit with all of these things. But in those days, they used to take a little birdie and eat it, and that was it. So basically, with the kisnin and this thing, since it was only a little bit of content of grain, and it was so rare that somebody would actually eat this, like a lot of it, they weren't koveya abrocha afterwards, even though it was after the Suda, Rashi says. It's after Birkat HaMazon. Nonetheless, it has the same thing as rice cakes. It's not koshev to be koveya abrocha akapi in shaloshev. It's a shakol on it. Very interesting. Obviously, we know, and we're going to get to later, many other pshatim over here. It isn't referring to after you said Birkat HaMazon, it's referring to before Birkat HaMazon, and since it's mizonot, but it isn't mizonot, it would be related to the bread. It's buns. So, okay, you need to make a brocha, but still, once you're making a brocha of shalosh, you don't need to make a brocha in shalosh. Completely different way of reading the circuit. Fine. Now, this is Polag Rebbe Chia. Dom Rebbe Chia, pat poteret kol minei ma'achal. It has nothing to do with being part of the meal. The fact is, if you eat bread and you make a brocha on bread, you potter everything along with that bread. Not because it's tafel to the bread, but because all brachot are tafel to the bracha of hamotzi. And wine will be potter kol minei mashkim. Not because you're drinking the other mashkim as a chaser to the wine, but if you're in a kiddush and you make a brocha on wine, and then you want to drink Coke, you don't make a bracha on the Coke. Not because Coke is tuffel to wine, but because the bracha on Coke is tuffel to the bracha on wine. So who the heck cares if it's betoka sudan, it's not for the bread. You're wrong. Omer of Papa Ilkata, the halacha is a little bit different than either of the approaches. It's that dvarim ba'im betocha su'uda, machmata su'uda, betocha su'uda. If you're bringing things that are part of getting full, so let's say you have a potato kugel. Now, one does not eat the potato kugel with bread. It's not malafet to the pot. You can't consider it to be bottled to the pot. But it is bottled to the su'uda. Why? Because it's coming to fill you up. And when you're saying, v'achalta v'sabata, that svi'a is going to include the potato kugel. So there, in Turin Bracha, lo lifneim v'lo la'achareihem. So partially, it is correct that we don't need to look at tfeilut lepat. We look at a new concept called tfeilut l'su'uda. But if something is coming shelo machmata su'uda, so this, we're talking about fruit and things that are just there basically as palate sweeteners. They're not really there to fill you up. They're there to lighten the heaviness of a meal.
Sure.
And that's betocha su'uda. They need a bracha lifneihem. But ain't to unim bracha la'achareihem. If they're coming liyachar suda, then to unim bracha bein lifneihem bein la'achareihem, where they're coming completely after the suda. What they used to do, they would take away everything off of the table and just have this little thing to, like a little dip to feel better, ginger, you know, that type of thing. So it's coming afterwards. That is already completely outside of the tchum of the suda. No. This would be even before. The benching wouldn't potter it, because it's not part of the Suda at all. Shalu et ben Zoma. Because it's the pot that potters them. And this is choshev. You've made a bracha chashuva on a suda. The word pot is basically a meal. V'chalta lechem. Does that mean v'chalta lechem? It means let's break bread together with all that comes along with the meal. Well, if that's the case, this was obviously a leader kind of question. If that's the case, why do we make a bracha on the wine? Since the wine is obviously coming as part of the meal, I wouldn't be drinking this wine now if I weren't eating. So I shouldn't make a bracha on the wine either. And again, because again, what you've said is that it's not because something is brought to the pot. You're saying it's something is being brought as part of the meal. Certainly the wine is coming as part of the meal. Yes, you're right. But shine yayin. Yayin is not the same. Now, if you ask me about Coca-Cola, I would say, you're right, do not make a bracha on a Coca-Cola. But wine is unique. Why? Because wine is goyim bracha la'atzmo, which Rashi understands to mean that wine is the only thing that we will tell you to drink even if you don't want to drink it. And therefore can't be bottled to anything else. If I'm telling you to make kiddush, I'm forcing you to drink wine. So that the wine forces the bracha, and not the way it would normally be, in which, okay, I happen to be drinking, so I make a bracha. Therefore, there's no way it could be bottled to the type of thing, which is not kovei bracha la'atzma. This is Rashi's finish, the other Rishonim. Take a computer, go and bracha la'atzma. Well, we said it's a very kosher bracha, it's a iluya, how could it stop be included in the Suda? Rashi, obviously, is saying, who cares? Who tells you that because it's a kosher bracha, it's not bottled to the Suda? I don't get it. And anyway, we're going to see how Motzi is more kosher in terms of kedima. So why would that be a svara? Therefore, Rashi's ingenious insight is that you can never view it as being bottled to the Suda. Because wine is not about drinking. It's about the bracha. And therefore, how can that bracha be bottled to the Suda? It's really beautiful.
So according to Rashi, it's not a bracha sana.
It is still, but the question is, what is gorim what? Right? It's not really bottled to a Suda. How could that be? Yavim is seifa. Rabbi Yudah me bevarach al hazayit shazayit b'min shiva. Come on, chilet leil Rabbi Yudah. How the time kol shu ikar v'imot tvila mevarach al ikar poteret at tvila? V'chi tema, yup, maybe. How could that be chilet leil? Impossible. V'tani Rabbi Yudah omer, well, of course, im machmat atzlon ba'azayit bevarach al atzlon poteret hazayit. So then what were they arguing about in the Reisha? Okay, we got a problem here. Liolam, of course, Shloni Karaskina. The Bachloket of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan is not about that case. It's about a missing case. And it's Milut Achrita Pligi V'Chisurim Echas. Rochikton. Ayud Afanav Tznon V'Zayit Mevorech Al Atzon Apoter Tazayit Bamed Vorim Amurim Kishat Tznon Ikar Aval Ein Atzon Ikar Divrei Hakom Mevorech Al Zeh V'Chazer Mevorech Al Zeh V'Shnei Minim Ba'alma Shepirchotem Shavot, Bavarach Alezim Shirtse, back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonam, Bavarach Alezayit Shazayit Bimin Shiva. In actuality, Pligi Baravami of Rabbi Yitzhak Matcha. Chavam Ramak Lokip Kishpirchotem Shavot. Rabbi Yonam Savra Min Shiva Adiv, Rabban Savra Min Chaviv Adiv, Ava Bishem Bichotem Shavot, Tivra Koma Varach Alezayit, because of Mavarach Alezayit, however you wish. Bakaram Av Kishayim Bichotem Shavot Nami Mak Lokip. We just understood what that is. What is this about? It's a din in kedima of bracha. Kol ha-mugdam ba-pasuk zeh mugdam levracha. Shem ha-eretz chita o-sora u-gefet einaf rimon eretz ichem nudvash. Upligi the Rebbe Chanan, Yom Rechanan, Nah, kala pasuk hazeh l'shiuri nema. Chita de tanich hazeh baita menuga bekele bakteifav, Sanda lav et abao tav biyadav, Huvein tmei miyad. Kaya lavush ke lav, Sanda lav barak lav, Tabao tav biyazgo tav, Hu tamei miyad, Vein taurin, Ad shishe bichte achilat pras, Of patchitim, Lo patzorin, Eaten meisav as normal, Biliftan, The Sa'or and the Pasek Tetan. Etzim ki Sa'or and Matam Bebe Magu Masa, Veinu Matam Bebe Oil. The Geffen and the Pasek is the shear of displacement of wine, Kedei Revi'it Yayin, of solid pieces of wine for another. Te'ina, Yisgrigo Geret, Lotza'at, Shabbat, Ribon, Kedetan Kokli Ba'alei Batim, that have a hole in them, it's got to be Shiran big enough for a Ribon to escape, then it loses its din of Tuma. Eretz et Shemen, Omer Gezer Bechina, a land, Shekoshi Yorek Zetim. What do you mean, Koshi Yorek Zetim? Salkadaitach, we just said a bunch of them that aren't Zetim. El Eretz Sherov Shiorek Zetim. And Dvash, that's the Shir of the Kaptevet Agasa, Beyom HaKippurim, Ve'idach. No, Ve'idach, Hanishir Be'edim Iktive. They're obviously in Rabbanan. Kroyas machta biyama. Rafisra mzuna vayatvi besuudata. Aitila kameo tamre verimoni. Shakara vamnuna baracha tamre beresha. I'm Rafisra. Watch to that. Los really marlodi am Rafisra vitem Rafitzchok. Kola muglam beposuk ze. Kodam levracha. Amla shreidu. Zeshen hilaret vzechami shilaret. I'm like, you're a genius, man. Man yoivan nagre the parzel of an amshmina. Itma. Hey, we all have them to inim and avim betocha suda. Om revuna to unim bracha lifnehem, ve ain to unim bracha laakrehem. Vechen am rev Nachman, to unim bracha lifnehem, ain to unim bracha laakrehem. Rev Sheshit amar, to unim bracha bein lifnehem, bein laakrehem. She ain lecha davar, shatun bracha lefana, ve ain to unim bracha laakrehem, ela pat haba'a, bekislim bilvad. Uplugin rupchia, dom rupchia pat poter kol minei ma'achal, ve yayin poter kol minei mashkin, and it doesn't matter whether it's tafel or not. Amr of Papa Yochata, Dvarim haba imach mata suda betocha suda, ain't to nim bracha lo lefnehem lo lachareya. Shalomach mata suda, betocha suda to nim bracha lefnehem, ain't to nim bracha lachareya. Leachare suda to nim bracha, bein lefnehem, bein lachareya. Shalot ben zoma, mibnei ma'am lo dvarim haba imach mata suda betocha suda, ain't to nim bracha lo lefnehem lo lachareya. Amalem hove pat potaratan, obviously. Yachi yayinam in iftre. I knew you were getting to that. Shine yayin, the gorim bracha la'atzmon.
Today's daf is daf mem aleph. We were holding on to two dafs, four lines down, actually, beginning of the fifth line on daf mem aleph. The Mishnah said, "Yulafanav minim harbe." We find the machlokes whether we should be mavarech on whatever it is that we like, which means whatever it is that is chaviv. Doesn't mean to randomly choose whatever is in front of you. Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have one of the shivat haminim, then there is an adifut to taking one of the shivat haminim over any other type of food. Now, our assumption is at this point that you're making a single bracha. In other words, you have a choice. You have rimonim, let's say, an apple. Which one would you say the bracha on? Because anyway, you're only going to be making one bracha. The bracha that you make on one is going to pass to the other, because both are birkata eight. And there we understand that it's honorable, if you're going to be making a bracha on one to pass to the other, you should certainly make a bracha on the more chashuv one. There's other issues that we need to take into consideration. Things such as we've seen earlier. Earlier we had, remember, bar kaparaz hakvada, on the fact that someone would make a birkat shahakol when they could have made a birkat adama. That's an issue. It may not be more important an issue than chavivut, but it certainly was an issue between the talmidim that were in front of him. So one could argue that if it would come to different brachot, let's say you have a borei priha adama, and then you have separately a borei priha, which one is more mivurar? One is more specific. Obviously, the borei priha eitz is more specific, because if you say borei priha adama, as we learned before, it will include generically eitzim. So we go from shahakol to adama to eitz. That's possible. But there may be a separate din kidima in all brachot that are more mevurarot than the other brachot. That's something to take into consideration. And the Bahag actually suggests this, that even though we don't find in the Gemara a hakvada on ha'etz and ha'adama in the same way that we find a hakvada on shahakol versus ha'adama versus ha'etz, it could be that any bracha that's mevureret would be a reason to make that bracha. But for right now, we're assuming that we're talking about the same bracha. And therefore, that is not the issue here. Now, we'll soon argue that perhaps there's another issue. But so far, what we've met in terms of the dine kidima, in terms of your bracha, is a bracha mivureret, at least extremely different to mivureret. So it says over here, maybe an extreme, because shahakol is by definition generic. That's shahakol is everything. And anything is by definition more mivureret than everything. Right? So any specifically defined thing is on the opposite side of the spectrum than shahakol. Doesn't matter how or how little mevurar it is, it's infinitely more mevurar than shahakol. Therefore, Tosa suggests that maybe we shouldn't jump to conclusion and say that anything that's particularly more mevurar, because after all, there's a quantitative mevurar and there's a qualitative mevurar. The difference between shahakol and any other bracha is a qualitative difference. The difference between borei priha adama and borei priha eitz is only a quantitative difference in terms of mevurar. So possibly we only say qualitative difference. This we'll discuss later, lahalacha. So that was number one issue that we've met so far. Number two issue that has been introduced earlier in the Bar Kapara disaster was the question of chavivut, personal chavivut. What do you enjoy more? This, by the way, should not be mistaken to think that there's a din of kidima when you have no intention of eating a food. There's certainly no kidima when you have two things in front of you to tell you what to eat. Why should I eat something I don't want to eat? Some people make the mistake of thinking that there's, you know, well, you're supposed to make a kidima something. I really don't feel like eating, but I guess I have to, because of course you don't have to. We're talking about in a case where you intend to eat. Now the question is, which one are you going to pick up? and say the bracha on it. So chavivut, we have met. The birchat shivat haminim is what we're now interested in, and to determine the value of the shivat haminim over other minim, as opposed to even other minim that are chavivim, perhaps other minim whose bracha is yoter mevurar. In other words, we're going to have to now balance out all of these elements. And another issue we're not taking into consideration yet is how about within the shivat haminim? There certainly is a difference in the types of things in the shivat haminim. Some of the shivat haminim actually are adama, such as the chitaus orah. Some have a bracha mevurara. So these are things which we will see now in the circuit. So the first thing that we need to question is whether the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan and the Mishnah was only speaking of a case where you're going to be making the same bracha anyway. So therefore, it makes perfectly good sense. You have a set of things that are all the same bracha. You're only going to be holding one at a time or eating one at a time. If you're going to be eating all of them, which one comes first? Makes a great deal of sense to say Shivat Abinim comes first. Therefore, it says Ula, the only Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only kishabir koteim shabbos. If they all have the same bracha, Rabbi Yehuda savar min shiva adiv. Rabbanan savrei min chaviv adiv. So we're talking over here about these two alternative factors. It's a question of the weight of each factor. According to Rabbanan, the weight of chavivut is greater than the weight of the objectively assigned shiva. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, objective classification is more weighty than personal classification. Abba b'she'in bir koteim shabbos. If you have two sets of things, then there's absolutely no connection between them. What are we comparing? Pomegranates and oranges? Especially in the apples and oranges, you can talk about being a member of the same sex. So in other words, there we have the question of Shivat HaMinim. Here we're not talking about pomegranates and oranges. We're talking about, let's say, radish and pomegranate. Now over there you've got two completely different sets, because in terms of bracha, of course, because you have two separate brachot. Over there, are you going to think that there's any concept of kedima and something that, one has nothing to do with the other? So why would I be mocked in one to the other? Now, of course, it's possible I might be mocked in one to the other because of the sugah ha-bracha, which the question is, it more mevura or not more mevura? Tosfos points out that the Gemara's rejection of that, even as an issue at this point, implies that the Bahag Sar, which is that he says that there is actually quantitative birur, not only qualitative birur. Certainly it's not true according to the Gemara's argument at this point. The Gemara does not consider the possibility of taking the bracha of ha'eit first because it's more mevura and then going to the ha'adamah. The other thing that we're not taking even as a possibility at this point is to consider that if the bracha, for instance, on the radish is a borei pri ha'adamah, then perhaps one should say the more generic bracha and include within it the ha'eit. Because after all, you're yotzei ha'na'eit, so you say ha'adamah. That's another question. So here we're just rejecting all of it, saying that certainly if you're talking about having to make two separate brachot, then there Rabbi Yehuda would never have suggested that the min shiva would be adif, because it's unrelated. We don't have two brachot, now two species that are vying with each other. We have two brachot that are vying with each other. If there's a din in the bracha, fine. Well, what din in the bracha is there? So divrei Yaakov mevarech al zeh, b'chazer mevarech al zeh. And Rashi explains that even though we said before that if you say ha'adama, you're yotze shel eitz, that's obviously only where you made a mistake. And you said ha'adama on something that you should have made a eitz, and accidentally you made ha'adama. There you would be yotze. It certainly doesn't mean that where your intent is to make ha'adama on something which is ha'adama, that you'll be yotze be eitz on something which is eitz, which you have every intent of making separately. So basically, and on this we ask, this assumption that there would be no din of kidima, where things are not part of the same set, we ask from the following bright. Hayunafanafts non bezayit. In fact, here's a case of a radish and an olive. Now this is the worst possible thing that we could have said, because it violates all aspects of our preconception. We assumed, first of all, that you would never be mevorech ahadama lechatchila on ha'eitz, even where you have something else. That was a given. We didn't even think about that. Right? And here it's saying, well, no, on the contrary. Let's think about that. We have the tzon and the zayit. Why don't we just make a bracha on the tzon and pater the zayit? Right, okay. Here we're talking about things that are bichlal, they're members of different sets in every way. Says the Gemara, no, it couldn't mean that. Doesn't mean you're going to make a bracha separately on a tznon and a zayin. We're talking about the din of ikar and tafel here. So in other words, someone essentially is eating a radish salad. A radish salad is rather overwhelming taste. So he flavors the radish salad to break the radishy taste, flavors it with a couple of olives in there. We ought to try this sometimes. One of these outrageous mixtures. Often these outrageous mixtures end up tasting very good, I find. Huh? So when we do our siyum, maybe we should take the more outrageous right? You never know. So that's what it's talking about. So there, of course, I mean, the rule is you make a bracha on the ikar. If the ikar is adama, what's the difference? It's at least going to pot to the eitz. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute. That can't be true. Because take a look that here, this is the other part of the question. Rabbi Yehuda says, mevorech al zayin. Whoops, I thought you said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we never would have argued if they're two separate brachot, because it's part of two two separate sets. So this shatters all of our preconceptions, right? That is, you're wrong about Rav Yehuda, and you're wrong about not bring Mevorech a less Mevorah Bracha, the Pater, the more Mevorah Bracha. So it says over here that in this case, it's better to make the Bracha on the Zayit, because the Zayit is one of the Shivat HaMinim. Now, certainly Rav Yehuda is not arguing on the principle that when you have an Ikar, you make the Bracha on the Ikar, and you thought to the Eila, I mean, that's crazy. The Machloket over here between Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan is the standing Machloket, I assume, as to whether there's a din of Kidimah of Shivat HaMinim above and beyond the Chaviv. That means we're not talking about a case of a radish salad, we're talking about a guy who has two separate things to make a Bracha on. And nonetheless, according to the Rabbanan, we don't even worry about the more Mevorah Bracha, we say the less Mevorah Bracha, in order to potter the more Mevorah Bracha. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is still a din of Kedima, of Shivat HaMinim, despite the fact that they're not a member of the same set of Brachot. What are you going to do about that? But he led Rabbi Yehuda. Certainly you're not going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda argues on the general principle in the Mishnah, that certainly is not the Machot, right? Why not? Try to tell me why not. Go ahead, I dare you. You try to tell me, yeah, maybe he doesn't hold of that. Hey, we know he holds of that. Because Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have a further definition of this case, in which Rabbi Yehuda says, Im machmat, that's known, ba'azayin. If, in fact, you're eating a radish salad, and the olive is only there for taste in the salad, so then, of course, I agree that your mevorech al hatznon upoteret hazayit, which means that the machloket reviewed in the Rabbanan was specifically the case where the zayit was not coming to flavor a salad. So now, how can you assert that there's no machloket in a case where the two elements that you need to be mevorech on are members of separate sets? That's a problem. But, we must misunderstand this part. Maybe the way to understand it is this. I agree with you that Snon is the Ikar. Yes. But that's the case. The Machloket, of course, is not about whether Ikar Vitafo, whether we go according to the Ikar. There's a sub-Machlokus in this Bright. The way to understand it is like, Keep pleading with Yerub Rabban Mamil Da'achri to plead. Yeah, there's obviously a piece missing in this Bright. I would suggest we read it as follows. Hayula Fanat Snon Vizai. Mevarechalat Snon. Upotera Tazai. This is the opening assertion of the Bright. Make a Brocha on the Red. Now, in Insert. Where would we say such a thing? Only where it's a salad of radish, and therefore you're making a bracha on the radish. In a case where you have radish or olive, everybody would agree, you make a bracha basically on whatever you want, separately. This is a continuation of our insertion. In a case where you would have two similar minim that are members of the same set, then, okay, back to the Braita. Mubarak alayhi zirma yam shiyir. So whereas Rav Yehuda says Mubarak alayhi shazayit b'min shiva, in which case it's only repeating the same outlook that we have in the Mishnah. Nothing new is being introduced here. And actually, the way I very conveniently changed the lashon in the Braita, it ends up supporting every single contention that I made. Iker pater's tafel. Kishe birchotem shavot is a machlok Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan. Kishe ein birchotem shavot, everybody's vote you make on either one that you want. You certainly will never pater an eighth with Hadamah. There you go. All four assertions are proven by this Braita with a few gentle adjustments here and there. We massage it into shape when we do. So, now, truth is, pleadi bo rabami Rav Yitzchak Nafra. This assertion that we've made, Ula's assertion, that the machlokus is only with the Braita, are similar, is actually machloket. Chanomer machloket kishibirkoteim shavot, the rebuta sabam min shiva adiv, rabbonet sabre min chaviv adiv. One of these bandiyonim, well, we don't know which one, but one agrees with Ula. And he says the only machloket is if you have a single set of brachot within the set, which one is more important, chavivut or shivat haminim? Aval, b'she'in birkoteim shavot, we cannot compare now radish to pomegranates. You simply have no basis of comparison, and therefore there would be no point in any type of analysis of whether Shivat HaMinim is important. You want bread, make a bracha, whatever you like. Mevorech al zeh, v'chozer mevorech al zeh. But the Yadam Adiyama argues on Ula's content. V'chadamar, af b'she'ein birchoteyem shavot, nam im machlok. But actually, they would be arguing even in two separate sets. Now, in two separate sets, now obviously we're opening up a whole new door to Kedima, correct? Because the concept that we had of Kedima was until now always a question of the species that the bracha will part it, not which bracha to make. Now you're introducing a whole new idea. You're saying there's a concept of which bracha to make even first, based on the species, not on the bracha. Boy, that's a whole different way of looking at it. So, small cap. I understand the way that we've been learning until now. Shafir makes a great deal of sense. Having established that there's no difference in the brachas, I'm going to make the bracha anyway. So now the question is, on which particular fruit from within the set, or vegetable from within the set, is it more of a kabod for the bracha to be set on? But if you're arguing now where you have separate sets, how would it establish now a greater kabod? Well, what would be the basis of that machloket? What are they arguing about? The machloket over here is in terms of the objective value of Shivat Haminim, not value within the context of the bracha, but rather an external value of the Shivat Haminim. The Omer of Yosef, Yitemer Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaMukdam BePosuk Zeh, Mukdam LeBracha. Actually, the organization of the Posuk that lists the Shivat Haminim, and Kol Shekein exterior to the list itself, in other words, if it's a question of this set versus another set, Shivat Haminim, any of the above, versus any of non-Shivat Haminim, certainly Shivat Haminim will be more kosher, because even within the set of Shivat Haminim, we consider the greater Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that it may be a Hadamah, to be more valuable than the Ha'et, which is a lesser Shevach of Eretz Yisrael because it comes later in the Pasuk. So you're telling me that if it's an Eretz Chitah with Seorah, then despite the fact, Richie, that I would be making a Hadamah on it, it would come first anyway, even as a different bracha. So that means that what we're saying now is that ignore the bracha. Look at the honor of making a bracha. Any bracha. There's an honor involved in what a person should eat, what it should relate to. If you're going to be eating two things, then eat the one which is the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, then decide what bracha to make on it. This is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. He's going, therefore, now, according to what it is that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak are saying. That Kol HaMukdam BePasuk Zeh, Mukdam LeBracha. And actually, there's some Rishonim who say that it isn't that the Rabbanan argue on this assertion. It's just that the Rabbanan say, Chaviv is still more Chashuv. Okay? You understand why that appears to be profoundly wrong, that assertion. You understand why it appears to be profoundly wrong? Let me explain to you why. The Gemara is shocked by the fact that we would consider the Kedima outside of the set, correct? Okay, what is so shocking about that? We're very used to it. I labored here under the table without you realizing it to get through to you what is so shocking about it. What's shocking about it is that all along we believed, until this moment, that the Kedima had nothing to do with the thing that you're eating. It had to do with how to apply the bracha to a thing that you're eating. We're certainly not going to say that there exists some type of objective, non-bracha-oriented kedima to something which comes before the bracha. Now we're saying, no, there is. Forget about the bracha. It has nothing to do with bracha. These things are more important. If you don't, even if you don't believe in brachot, if you're going to eat a pre from Eretz Yisrael first. What the heck? That's the Zionistic approach. Don't make the bracha, but make the Pharaoh of Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, that's what the Gemara is saying, right? That this thing exists outside of the context, really, of the idea of bracha. Bracha is a way in which I express that honor. Now, that's a whole new idea. Never did we see that there should be a concept of chavivut outside of a set. That's absurd. Why would we change our mind about that? It makes much more sense to continue our assumption that other elements are only within the set, such as chavivut. We would never take a chavivut to say, first decide what you like, then worry about what bracha to make about it, correct? Because the chavivut is only an expression of honor of the bracha. I mean, what's the question of honoring the fruit with my chavivut? So it's much more likely that we should follow, according to the Surah Sasugya in the Gemara, that this is only true, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, who says we have now a concept of external to the idea of the set of the bracha, a general din of mukdam, so they're arguing a new concept called kedima. I mean, otherwise you can laugh at the Gemara. What do you mean? We're always talking about kedima. You're asking, what are they arguing about? Oh, we figured it out. They're arguing about kedima. Well, obviously they're arguing about what else have we been talking about? You understand? It's a completely different kedima here.
Well, they're only the same kedima here.
No, it's a non-issue. It's worse than that. It's a non-issue according to them because it's out of the set. Yom Rav Yosef Yitem Rav Yitzchak Kol HaMukdam BePasuk Zeh Mukdam LeBracha Shenemar Eretz Chita U'Seora VeGefen U'Teinav Rimon Eretz Zeit Shemen U'Dvash. Now this argues in Rabbi Chanan. Yomer Rabbi Chanan, the Pasuk has nothing to do with Kedima vis-a-vis Brachot. The Pasuk actually is listed in Dinim of Shiurim. Kol HaPasuk Kulo LeShiurim Ne'emar. In other words, when it says Chita in the Pasuk, that's coming to tell me a Shiur in the Torah. We know that there's a Halacha of HaNechnas L'Bayit HaMenuga. So we have the Boel HaBayit, a special din which is called Tumat Biyah. It sounds like Tumat Ohel, but it isn't. Because in Tumat Ohel, if you have a mate in a Bayit, it doesn't matter whether that's the Makom of the mate, it's just that it should be momentarily within the same space. There it's a spatial issue. Here it's a home issue.